Well, this evening we're going to ask the question, Abraham, why? Abraham, why? Now, the nation of Israel, concerning which most of the Old Testament narratives and the books and everything that is recorded here, most of the Old Testament centers around the Jewish people who descended from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So many times in the Old Testament, promises to the people of Israel are described as promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Three generations, each with a story to tell, and each with a number of reasons why they might not have come to a living faith in Jesus Christ, the promised Saviour. Yet they did, and so our question is, Abraham, why did he come to a living faith in Jesus Christ? Because that's what it was. We read that he rejoiced to see the day of Jesus, and his faith in God was in reality the same as yours and mine. It's faith in Jesus Christ as the only Saviour. I won't at this point seek to prove to you that Abraham became a true believer in Christ. You'll see that as we proceed. But our question is, why? Why did he become a Christian? And our first heading is that he left Ur of the Chaldees. We read in chapter 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." And we know that the country from which he set out, the one he left, was none other than Ur of the Chaldees. We read about that in the previous chapter, that they were in the land of his nativity, and Abram and Nahor, they married, they took Sarah and Milcah as wives, and Sarah had no children, but they lived there in Ur of the Chaldees. And we read in verse 31 of the previous chapter, "Terah took Abram his son, and Lot his nephew, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Neri his daughter-in-law, and his son Abraham's wife. They went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go unto the land of Canaan, and they came unto Haran and dwelt there." Lot, of course, was grandson to Terah. He was Abraham's nephew. And we read then in chapter 12 that the Lord had said unto Abraham, and we see where the "had" came in. You see in verse 1, the Lord had said unto Abraham, and that's accurate. It means that even before what we read of in chapter 11, where Terah, he's the head of the family, so he leads the family out of Ur of the Chaldees, but it was Abraham to whom God had specifically spoken. Abram was told, "Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred." So we can only imagine that he must have gone and reported to his father and to his nephew, and to have told them that God, the Almighty God, the God who created the heavens and the earth, had called them to leave Ur of the Chaldees and to go to a land, and they weren't aware that it was the land of Canaan. That became obvious later on when they got there. Chapter 11 seems to suggest at first that Terah decided that it was time to move home. But no, it was Abraham who received the call. He was obeying God, and he persuaded Terah to uproot and leave their home. We read from Hebrews 11 earlier on. This confirms it. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. Now Lot was the son of Abraham's brother Haran, and Haran died in Ur of the Chaldees, where he'd been born. And we read nothing of Haran's wife, Lot's mother. Presumably she had died as well, we don't know. But the party which packed up all their possessions and left Ur of the Chaldees was Nahor and Abram, and Sarah his wife, and Lot, Abraham's nephew, plus a lot of servants and livestock. But there were good reasons we would say bad reasons, but good reasons they might think. Why not? Why should they leave? Why should Abram leave Ur of the Chaldees? Abram had a number of things which might have kept him in Ur of the Chaldees, reasons for not turning to the Lord. Now, Ur of the Chaldees, you could go to visit it today. You can get a tour. I can't remember the name of the tour I was looking at earlier. And you can go through Iraq. And one of the places where you stop and you look at the ziggurat there and various other things is Ur of the Chaldees. Abram was born in 2165 BC. It's about 15 years after the dynasty of Akkad. Around 2200 years BC in Mesopotamia. Today it covers the modern countries of Iraq, Syria and northern Turkey and western Iran. But Ur of the Chaldees was actually in the country we now know as Iraq. It was the land was invaded by some people called the Gushans, who then ruled the land for a century before the land fell to the Sumerians, who ruled until 1950 BC. Abraham grew up in Ur, just before the Sumerians took the land. The Sumerians introduced great culture, previously unknown, and Ur was becoming a most sophisticated, civilized city. Nobody knew that. People didn't even believe it existed until a certain gentleman that I'm going to tell you his name in a moment, discovered it about 100 years ago. But Ur was situated in southern Mesopotamia at Tel al-Makaya, 160 miles from the present head of the Persian Gulf, 220 miles southeast of Baghdad. And I believe it's from Baghdad that you can get a tour which takes you all through Iraq. But of course, you've got to get to Baghdad first. We read that Abraham left Ur of the Chaldees not knowing where he was going. Doesn't sound very sensible. To leave somewhere with such riches, a place of such solidity and establishment, that you don't know where you're going. Well, we know his departure from Ur and his eventual settlement in Canaan is true. The whole Israelite history is based on that fact. And our message today to a society which has by and large swallowed the big lie, which is there is no God, is come to Christ. Repent of your sins. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And the response is usually, why should I? Why should I do that? Why would I leave my comfortable life with all the things I can see and depend on? Why should I leave all that? I know I wouldn't have to leave it literally, but to actually stop believing in those things that I believe in now and come by faith to Christ, why would I want to do that? Well, Abraham had many reasons not to believe, not to leave home, not to follow the Lord, but he did. Look at the city he lived in. It was just over 100 years ago, a man called Sir Leonard Woolley, I'd forgotten his name for a moment, he began a 12-year excavation of the ruins of this ancient city. His efforts gave insight into the splendour of Ur of the Chaldees. Just prior to Abraham's birth, the royal tombs of Ur date back to about 2500 BC, 335 years before Abraham was born. They discovered magnificent jewels, musical instruments, statuettes, all of which illustrated fine craftsmanship. This city was protected by very high walls. The average was 30 foot high in places. There was a sacred area in Ur of the Chaldees surrounding a huge tower or ziggurat. And if you nip out to Iraq for a little holiday and you go on this tour that I've not recommended but mentioned to you, one of the big features will be this ziggurat, this tower, which was built on a plain along the river Euphrates. The streets of Ur were unpaved, but narrow and winding, and lined on both sides by the walls of houses. The houses were usually constructed of burned mud, brick, whitewashed or plastered, and on the outside they were plastered. Many houses were two stories high, and they contained generally 12 rooms each house and two lavatories in these houses. This is all discovered by Sir Leonard Woolley in his excavations of the country. Many houses were two stories high. This really was a sophisticated, well-designed, wealthy city. There were many of the best available comforts, and it was in this advanced and civilized city that Abraham received the challenge to leave it all and go out not knowing where he was heading. So I ask the question again, why? Why would Abraham listen to God? Well, because it was God. Because God had a purpose, a mighty purpose, not just for this man and his family, but for the whole world in the future. Everyone is affected by Abraham's decision to follow God and leave Ur of the Chaldees. Why would I leave comfortable, easygoing Ur of the Chaldees? He must have asked. In addition to the housing, the architecture, the civilized lifestyle, Ur had its own banking system. Years before they thought that such things were invented, they had a very sophisticated banking system, a cloth industry, celebrated jewelers, all in Ur of the Chaldees. But they had something else. They had their own religions. For Abraham, to leave Ur of the Chaldees meant that he changed religion. Does a man change religions? Jeremiah the prophet asks a very significant question in Jeremiah 2 verse 11. Has a nation changed their gods, which yet are no gods? He's saying the nations have their gods and they're not even real gods, but they won't change them. No nation suddenly says we're getting rid of these gods, we're going to have these gods. It's so very rare. Even today, people will change their political alliance, their eating habits, their life partners. People change those all the time, but to change your religion, so rarely does it happen. God told Abraham to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go wherever he led him. But Abraham already had his religion. Many years later, after Isaac and Jacob, after Moses led the Jews out of Egypt to the promised land, Joshua gathered all Israel's tribal elders together at a place called Shechem. He reminded them of the allegiance they owed to God, the Lord. It's all in Joshua chapter 24. And the Lord was Jehovah. He says, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." So Abraham and his family were idolaters. They worshipped other gods. Why would I want to cease worshipping the gods of Ur of the Chaldees? Can't you imagine Abraham saying that? This religion I belong to served my father and his father well. Look at our wealthy city. Look at our wealthy lifestyle. Why would I change gods to a god that I can't actually see? I can see these gods, these statues on every street corner. I mentioned the ziggurat earlier on, the tower located in the holy ground. And this was a tower which rose to 150 feet above the streets. It can still be seen today. It's been partially restored. It may have been completely restored by now. At its base were two temples. A temple library was there, and a school, plus a vast marketplace. On the very top of the tower was a smaller temple, built entirely of blue enamel bricks. dedicated to the moon god Nanna. And that was the principal deity, the main god that the people of Ur worshipped. They weren't stuck with one god, they had many gods for various different things. So they had, it's thought, hundreds, maybe thousands of gods worshipped in that part of the world. But the main one was Nanna, the moon god. And they treated it as a living person, this idol that they had. It was served by hundreds of priests and priestesses, and the people worshipped hundreds, some say thousands, of other gods as well. It was their religion. You can't knock a person's religion, can you? You're not allowed to try to see people converted from one faith to another is virtually against the law. Why would Abraham leave that god? Why would he leave those gods to follow a god who had no idol, no statue, a god who required faith and repentance from sin in order to be an adherent and a follower, a Christian, in other words? Hebrews 11 tells us where they went. He left all that, not knowing where he was going. "Where are you going, Abraham?" the people said. "You're taking your wife, your father, even your nephew Lot, and he's stacked with money. He's got loads of cattle and sheep and everything, and all your possessions, and you're just taking your cattle with you out to, and you don't even know where you're going." He had plenty of reasons not to leave Ur and set out, not knowing what his destination would be. Why would he do such a thing? Why would anybody leave what they believe and what they're comfortable with and follow the living God? I've been rereading this week and over the last few weeks about a man that some of you will be familiar with his name, and that is Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Great book to read, The Early Years and then The Full Harvest, the second volume. In his early 20s, he found the church he was preaching in, the Metropolitan Tabernacle. The New Park Street pulpit in 1850 was too small for the growing numbers who came out on Sundays to hear him preach. So he hired the Surrey Gardens Music Hall. And people, well, they despaired of that. You can't have Christian services in a music hall, but he did. And 7,000 turned up and got in. Thousands more were left outside, unable to get in. And thousands of lives were changed through this man's preaching, because God gave them a reason to seek him and travel across London to hear how they might find peace with God. They had plenty of reasons not to come, not to seek the Lord, but they did seek him because God was speaking through this young yet old-fashioned preacher. Why did those people, thousands of them, leave what they were doing, all their allegiance? They may have stayed in their jobs, they did stay with their families, but so many thousands came to Christ in the 1850s in this country through this preacher, young preacher, who was converted when he was 17 and became a pastor later on that year. And why did Abraham leave Ur? First of all, he listened to God. Genesis 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country." And you know the trouble with mankind, with men and women in our country, they just won't listen to God. They'll listen to virtually anybody else that tells them anything, but tell them this is the gospel, this is the word of God, this is what God, the Almighty Creator, is telling you, or the ears become closed. The key thing was the Lord had been speaking to Abram. He had gods by the hundreds, but they never really said anything to him. He had the moon god. It never spoke to him. It wasn't hard to see that people in this moon god, they pulled strings, literally, to make its mouth move. They pulled strings so that you'd think it was speaking. And they found all that in the excavations. Still no message, No direction from the moon god, no purpose to it, but God speaks. God still speaks with a still, small voice. And Abram saw the emptiness of life. They served other gods. You have to serve other gods because they won't serve you. They can't. Suddenly, or was it over a few months, his money meant nothing to him. His sheep and cattle, well, what was that? What was it worth to a man? Was it something that he would give his whole life just to keep his sheep and his cattle? Why, no, he saw through it. He saw that all his possessions counted for nothing. And above all, he saw his sin. No other God shows you your sin. No religion in the world tells you, as one of the key reasons for coming to Christ, that you're a worthless sinner. That's no way to get people. It's no flattering message, is it? But that's what the gospel tells you. You're a worthless sinner. You have no hope unless you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and come in true repentance, casting your sins before him, asking to be forgiven. That's how you come to receive new life. You come to Christ with your sins and you cast them away from you and you say, Lord, I repent of all my sins, and you come by faith to trust in Christ. Rich palatial surroundings, a bank, a library, a cloth and jewel industry, but the living God was the one who spoke to him. We don't know exactly what God said, but it must have been, I created the heavens and the earth. He must have seen that this was the God who created everything, and he must have seen that he was the God, not the moon God or the thousands of gods that people worship, but this living God was the one that he would have to answer to when he died. He decided to leave Ur behind because God told him to. He wouldn't follow a man-made God. Nothing could persuade him to leave Ur of the Chaldees. But this was the Almighty Creator God. Have you got there yet? Have you got to that point? Have you seen it? What shall it profit a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, if you gain the whole world and you lose your soul? Said Jesus. God was calling Abram out of meaningless, non-lasting luxury, out of religions which depended on your imagination. Hebrews 11 verse 10, he looked for a city which hath foundations. Why did he do that? Because God made him. He showed him that what he trusted in had no foundations. It was all going to be washed away. A city whose builder and maker is God. And Jesus said to those who were criticizing him, he said, Abraham rejoiced because he saw my day. He could see afar off. And God says that. He says, in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. How would that happen? Through millions of people becoming Christians, receiving the very faith that Abraham had, faith in the unseen, unknown, but now known, living, eternal God. Abraham saw afar off that Christ would be the Saviour we needed. He saw essentially the work of the cross of Calvary. He saw it 2,000 years before it happened. And Abraham set out on a journey unto faith, a journey into faith. That's the first thing. Have you made that journey into faith? And once you're there, it's a journey to glory with Christ with you all the way. We're going to think over the next 2 weeks about his son Isaac and then about his son Jacob, because all these great promises were made to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. And the God that the prophets spoke about and even the New Testament apostles spoke of was the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. We've begun with Abraham, who set out on this journey by faith. For you, it starts with the cross of Calvary. You need to come to the cross and stoop beneath its shadow and receive by faith the one who died there into your heart. You need to come to Jesus Christ, and even tonight, come in prayer, come by faith, call upon him, seek him, make sure. Is there any doubt? Make sure you know for certain that Christ is your Saviour. It starts at the cross of Calvary. We're going to sing our closing hymn, 401, My Faith Looks Up.